This is a verse which is to be lived. It's to be experienced, and it will empower you very greatly if you can understand what it says and then just apply it in your lives. So the translation is, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you, bestow your causeless mercy upon him. All the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, and who offers you respectful obeisances with his heart, his words, and his body. Such a person is surely eligible for liberation, what has become his rightful claim. Let us just go through the points of the text and then hear Srila Prabhupada's explanation. It talks of a devotee who's not yet free from karmic reactions, who experiences his karmic reactions while taking full responsibility. I have done something, so therefore this particular experience has happened as a result of my own activities. So while he is in this mood to take responsibility for what happens in his life, he goes on a parallel track of bhakti and offers the Lord with his body, his words, and his mind obeisances and service to him. And such a person will very sure and very certainly very soon become liberated from his obstacles, this material life, in fact, and develop true bhakti. So Srila Prabhupada makes a very nice and interesting comment on this verse in the Nectar of Devotion, and I have thought it is very good if this morning, where we are thinking of applying spiritual wisdom in our life, we take the guidance of this particular passage from Nectar of Devotion, because as you will see, it's very powerful. Prabhupada starts, he says, this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, should be the guide of all devotees. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. So these past karmic reactions are to be expected. One should not be surprised very much that this happens. Instead, he should continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. When such impediments arise, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. If a devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is absolutely certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim to enter the kingdom of God. For those of you who would love to read this in its entirety, I've taken an excerpt. You can find this in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 10, under the heading Expecting the Lord's Mercy. It's in the English volume on text on page 90 or 91. I have committed this to memory, this number. So, because it is apparently the guide. Well, what is the guide again? And let us be quite clear. Well, something happens to you which is not the way you have expected it. It's not pleasing. It's unexpected, and it is just there. It's standing before your door. So instead of complaining, as it is usually done, what you do is you see that this is there for a good reason. I have placed it in front of my door by my own activities, and instead of becoming overwhelmed by the misery and becoming full of anxiety and when will this go, this problem, you engage patiently in devotional service and simply think of Krishna and expect Krishna's mercy. And by being so faithful, you will actually earn your right. Here Prabhupada says it. You will earn, a devotee earns his claim, that's something like a right, to enter into the kingdom of God. So I would like to now discuss this subject in a way that hopefully I'm praying that it is inspiring for you, and it guides, can give you some guidance. So this is a mighty task. So let me first ask for mercy and empowerment. If you wish, you can join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Timadvaya Virdanda Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Gauravani Vrachayine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sangeeta Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama something happens to a conditioned soul which is not what he or she has planned, and if that has the quality of pinching, of paining, of upsetting, of bringing some turbulence in the mind, then the conditioned soul often asks, why me? It's very easy for a person to see why something happened to others. We immediately are ready with an advice, but maybe you change this, or maybe you change that. You know, it happened because of we had a little bit stubborn or this or that. But it seems to be almost impossible to advise ourselves. Why me? This is unfair. And when we keep this rational, what we actually approach, I mean, where we come close to, is that we hold the Lord to be responsible. We think that's really unfair, Krishna. I mean, your cosmos is nicely arranged, but you have overlooked my situation, and you have done something unfair. Srila Prabhupada confronted this mentality when his German godbrother, Swami Sadananda, Sadananda Swami, told him that in Germany, many of the women turned atheists, men and women, because, see, Germany had a war with many fronts, and fronts means many enemies, many countries at the same time, and they Hitler had advised that the soldiers, in order to keep their fighting spirit alive, they should be married or should, at an early age, and they should have someone, also should have someone with whom they, a lady with whom they would exchange letters for encouragement, so that their fighting spirit would be strong. My father was also married very young, like almost an Indian marriage. The men were strong, and the women would go to the church and pray, "Oh, please send my Ernst Günther home from the battlefront." But many soldiers, if not the majority, were killed in these crazy wars. And then those who had prayed for them to return, this is what the Scott brother said, thought, "God is unfair. He's unjust. Here we go to the church, we pray, and he's not giving us what we have requested for." So although in our lives it's not always so, let me say, so clear, but I have seen with my own eyes over the many, many years of trying to serve Vaishnavas, that when something happens which is disappointing, which is difficult to digest, they secretly hold Krishna responsible, and they can't tolerate Krishna any longer. Now I know that the parent of this wonderful child wants to have an educational advice and has stayed for this. When your child is restless in the lecture, it means it is a stuffed atmosphere and the child is not experiencing happiness. As parents, parent, it is your responsibility at that moment to bring your child to a more fresh atmosphere. Yes, thank you very much. No, it's helpful for all situations of education. I'm happy to give it. Yes. And also it's at the Hare Krishna. I think the point is clear. So, we think God is unjust. It may be our biggest problem. Listen to this. Everyone in the group, in the small assembly here. Our biggest problem is that without us acknowledging it, we think Krishna is unfair. We can't tolerate Krishna. That's why we remain a little reserved in our bhakti, in our service, because we are not 100% convinced that Krishna is kind, that this has a reason. And our spiritual practice becomes, when we experience things which are not the way we planned it, a little slack. Slack, is it slack? Weak is in English. And we retire a little, we retreat a little from our active engagement in devotional service, and do not joyfully and lovingly give our 100%. Baladev Vidya Bhushana addresses this very, very dark point in the mentality of the conditioned soul. He says, in the Bhagavad Gita it says that the Lord is not responsible for what the jiva experiences as results of pious or sinful activities. The Lord is not responsible for these experiences. But then he asks, but then why do the jivas accuse the Lord of injustice? Why do they think that was not fair, Krishna? And he answers his question. This is there because although the jiva has perfect knowledge, and although the jiva is eternal, this knowledge disappears from his mind the moment he is not friendly to the Lord anymore. I have to say this exactly here. Let me say, why do we go against Krishna and accuse him of injustice? Well, he says here, the knowledge of the jiva, though eternal, disappears from view due to the jiva's hostility to the Lord since beginningless time. And so because of this, because of having turned against Krishna since beginningless time, when something is not happening the way we want it, we say, it's your fault. It's really not fair. Why? Why? Although the ignorant people say that the Lord is unjust, in the Vedanta Sutra it is confirmed the Lord has no injustice or hatred. Rather, he always is favorable to the jivas. The scriptures declare this. My dear devotees, the moment you can understand that what happens to you comes directly from the Lord and is for your betterment, the doors of the material world open and you are right on your path going back to Godhead. This is a secret not often discussed. I became aware of this when Adi Purusha pointed out in the Govardhan retreat this amazing purport of Baladev Vidya Bhushana to the Bhagavad Gita. It is really a fact. Secretly, unconsciously, deep, 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 deep on the ground of our psychology. We are not agreeing with Krishna when something happens that which we have not planned. And this is due to our, you could say, existential situation. We have left him, we have turned our back towards him. And this is the very reason why we are here. If you can say, Krishna, this is fair. You are fair and kind. If we can tolerate Krishna's activities in educating us, at that moment, bam, the door opens with a bang. You are on your way back home, back to Godhead. So stop complaining when something happens. This is the reason. This is the instruction. And expect the Lord's mercy. But let me first now, because we are here in an assembly of souls who have left Krishna. We are all in this room together. We are the rebellious people here. Let me give some reasons why Krishna is sending the devotees challenges. Let me give some reasons from the scriptures. Maybe I can convince one rebellious soul in this assembly. Then I will think, wow, you have served the devotees. I'm joking. I know you will take this information like a sponge. There are many passages in the Bhagavatam where it is explained to convince us why Krishna gives us, let me say, troubles on our way. And one passage I would like to quote comes from Prithu Maharaj, the great incarnation of the Lord. He says, just as a father, out of his own accord, you don't have to tell him that, just as a father, out of his own accord, looks after the good of his child, you personally, you means Krishna, personally also do what is good for us. And he explains in another purport that sometimes the father will give his child bitter neem medicine. Oh, it's so bitter. Oh, the child goes, and sometimes he may give them sweets according to the situation. Those of you who are my generation knew that all of us children got this Rizunus by our parents, and at the time when we were young it was understood that this was the most healthy thing you can do for your child. Now the Rizunus Öl, I do not know what it's in English, but it tasted so bad. When you ate it, it was not a fiery, burning taste. It was like a taste, I don't even want to describe it, because already my stomach comes up to my throat, maybe just remembering this taste of the oil. And the father would put the spoon inside, and the mother would hold my head, and it would go down. And I know, because of this kindness of my parents, I do not know if it's because of the oil, but it is because of the intention. They really love that this is good for you. This is good. Just take the medicine. It is not. It will take care of you. And I'm very healthy in my old age also. I can dance longer than many of you. not all of you. There are some of the Samanandas there. Yeah. Awed by his abilities. Just like a father knows what is good and gives sometimes this or that, out of your mercy, Krishna gives this. Vishwanath comments, the Lord certainly knows what is best for me, even if I don't know it. karma and time have no effect on a devotee. So this, what happens is always Krishna's arrangement. It's not karma, it's not time. Krishna is acting. Out of his mercy, Krishna sometimes gives me happiness and sometimes gives me distress. Now, you might now ask, well, what is the educational benefit of giving distress? Okay, you've given one medicinal example, but can you some more? Give me a reason why it is good. And the Bhagavatam gives us an example. It says that suffering is just like burning, and it can purify the soul, much like fire, which is held on the gold, can smelt it, so that it gives up its impurities and takes on its natural own pure form, pure gold. So, because we are at this moment still to some parts pervaded with avidya, just like the gold may be pervaded with not good metal, Krishna sends us this misery, which, by the way, is coming from our own foolishness, but he sends it in a medicinal doses, so that we give up our ignorance. See, when a person experiences the true face of Maya, the unmasked face of the illusory energy, he will become very serious and think, oh, okay, this is the reality of material life. It is a false appearance, and it is miserable. I now need to take good shelter so that I can experience the sweet beauty of Krishna and rejoin Krishna in his pastimes, in his eternal realm. In other words, this confronting the true aspect of material life takes away the ignorance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur thinks that he's very joyful about this. He says, I don't want to try to sing it in English, I'm not so talented, it would look sound awkward. He says, all the distress which I encounter in your service, my Lord, is also my greatest happiness, because both the distress and the happiness that come from engagement in your service are my greatest fortune. Why? Because they destroy the distress of ignorance. Have you not been in this situation, that you have passed through a phase of your life and you have thought, oh my God, now I can see. When I could see this, when I had this experience in my life, I really turned to Krishna. And by turning to Krishna, I have solved the misery of my conditioned life. And I have seen through Maya what it really is. I have been there, and now I really turn. I know, I have seen enough, and I will go to Krishna now, 100%. So it's therefore that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, taking this point a little bit further, he speaks about three types of mercy of Krishna. The first type of mercy of Krishna has a sharp quality. It bears the fruit of tormenting pain, he even says. It's, you know, when we are still so much in illusion and we want to enjoy the material world and we want to squeeze some enjoyment out of our minds and bodies, and then we burn ourselves. And we say, oh, okay. We don't put our hand any longer in the fire, but in fact we take our hand out of the fire. This is the first mercy of Krishna, to help us withdraw from Maya, which is very difficult to do. It needs an almost Herculean strength to draw back from our old habits. So this is the first installment. So after this, let me say, so first Krishna frees his devotee from the cause of all his suffering, that is the ignorance and forgetfulness of Krishna. And that brings him to the next mercy. That is that the devotee can now take shelter in Krishna, and Krishna gives the devotee shelter. Come here, my crying child, come here. Yes, I know you saw the misery of the fire of material existence, but come now, I'm ready for you, I wait, come on. Like Prabhupada, we have quoted Prabhupada yesterday saying, as soon as someone turns to the Lord says, come on. let us there. You want to hear the quote again? Or? Wherever I'm going in my transmigration, when I leave this body and enter into another body, God also goes there just to see what I'm doing. How are you doing? Like God, when he sees me in the morning, he asks in a typical English, but how are you doing? When I shall turn my face towards him, he is simply waiting. Krishna is with us, he's waiting. And as soon as I turn my face towards God, he says, my dear son, come on. You are eternally dear to me. Now you are turning your face to me. So I'm very glad. This is the second mercy. The first mercy is to help us look in the right direction. Here, look, you cannot gain anything in material life. It's not for you. Can't you see? It's miserable. You're on a different level. Then we take turn to Krishna. He's right there and says, as if he has waited, come a little bit closer, please. And then the third installment of the mercy is he reveals his beautiful form to us, and he is there for us entirely. Let me just see if I have it. I give my mercy to you in the form of my very self. That's the third type of mercy. No? So this is why we sometimes experience a residue. Residue means like a rest. When you eat and you leave a rest because you can't take it more any longer. We get a residue of our own karma, which Krishna strategically places in our life so that we turn away from the illusory attempt to enjoy this world, but we go and take shelter of him, and then Krishna is ready to give us his own, what was it? Give his mercy in the form of his very self. He says, here I am for you. It's wonderful. Tomorrow we will hear more about Krishna. Mercy to this. But I want to illustrate what I said so far by telling you a very nice example from the Bhagavatam, from where you can actually learn, and sometimes we use examples, how to apply the wisdom of this text. And the wisdom is, in short verse again, and when we experience the Lord, we should not think he's unjust and unfair to us. we should see it is caused by our own misdeeds in the past. But this is mercy that we see it now, because it helps us to turn away from Maya and take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So how to do this? We can learn from an example which is very nice. By the way, this story is told in ancient times to those who want to go on the devotional path and who want to really apply this subject seriously. Let me see. He was a farmer and a merchant. That means he sold the grains and became very rich. But he was so miserly and hard-hearted that he did not take care of his wife and his sons and daughters, but he kept all the money stored away while they were suffering. So finally, after a lot of confrontation, they turned against their husband and father and felt enmity in their heart. Around this time, his fortune changed. We would say in German, er hatte eine Pechsträhne. You know, that means a sequence of events which were very troublesome for him. There were fires in his house. The rain stopped coming so that he could not get any crops on the field. His family broke into his own treasury and stole the money, and then thieves came. And finally, the government one day was before his property and said, you have cheated so much, this is ours. So the Brahmin cried in pain, "Why me? Why did this happen to me? How could this all happen?" Then, as he was experiencing this suffering, my dear devotees, something happened in his psychology. He developed a strong sense of renunciation towards material life. And that is, in some ways, as we heard today, it is good for bhakti. He understood that I was in Maya all this time. There's a wonderful Brazilian joke. There was a man living in a coastal town, and this man was very, very happy. He was a fisher. And he got a few fishes and sold them to the Rakshasas. He was very content. He was mostly doing nothing except enjoying, spending time with his friends, thinking, reading, and sometimes he was working with them. So a man from America came to the fisher and said, "Wow, you live here at the coast where there are a lot of fishes. Why don't you increase your productivity?" The fisher said, what should I do? "Well, you get a bigger boat and you spend more time And then what should I do? Fishing. Then what should I do? Well, you earn money and then you buy more boats and put others on. And then what should I do? Wealth. And you get so much wealth. You can get a factory. Make a factory. And then what should I do? Factory, you have a lot of money. Well, you can invest your money in foreign properties. And then what should I do? But then you can be peaceful and you can be with your friends. Listen to music. You know, read books. And then I said, but I'm doing this already. So why all this effort?
The Brahmin thought in his mind, people are making so much effort. I can see that the whole world is most bewildered by someone's illusory potency. Someone is here working, putting people in the illusion that they must work, get wealth. So what? To do what? To be in the end content and satisfied. And then he thought, I'm thinking Krishna has gotten me out of this bad situation in my life. The Lord has brought me to this suffering condition and forced me to experience detachment, which is the boat to carry me over this ocean of material life. He thought like this. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that in his previous life, this Brahmana practiced bhakti, but when obstacles came his way, he could not take shelter at Krishna. This time in this life, when obstacles came his way, he understood, this is Krishna working at me. He has taken care of me to detach me from material life. And he prayed to the Lord in a very, very, very nice way. It's a song which everyone should learn. It's so good. But before we hear the song, the Brahmin got very much tested. You know, when you go on this path, when you try to accept that detachment from material life is good for you, and Krishna helps you by making you see the illusory face of your Maya in your life. When you see and make peace with Krishna, thank you, Krishna, and you stop rebelling against him, you will be tested. Krishna wants to see, are you ready for the kingdom of God? And here it is said, when unconscious people saw this Brahmana, they thought of him as an old and dirty beggar. But he surrendered fully to Krishna's mercy. It's almost inconceivable how he was tested. Some people took away his sannyasi rod. Some took his water pot, which he used as a begging bowl. Sinful rascals would come and urinate on his food just when he was about to take it. Imagine this happens when you sit before your pizza. And although he had taken a vow of silence, he didn't want to discuss with these ignorant people. They forced him, teased him to speak. They would beat him, and they would say about him, this man is just like a thief. And they would shout, tie him up. And then they would bind him like a captured animal to a pose, so that everyone ridiculed him. And some would even pass foul air upon him, right in his face. And sometimes, it was really, the Bhagavatam is very clear, it was tests. But the Bhagavatam, but the Brahmin understood,
I'm just before the door which enters into the kingdom of God. I will not turn back to my miserable ignorance any longer. And he began to sing.
Mm. It's such a nice song. Can I sing it?
Yes.
Don't laugh when I'm out of notes. Every day I should start again. I shall cross over this insurmountable ocean of nations by remaining firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas, who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He understood maybe that in my past life, when obstacles came, I ran back and took shelter in the material energy and tried to defend and arrange and protest and do everything on my own. But this is not just the, this is my and this time I will take full shelter in Krishna. And fixed, when he was fixed up like this, he became supremely joyful and happy. He had gone through the door. It said that anyone who listens to this narration or recites this song of the Brahmana, which presents scientific knowledge of the Absolute, and who thus meditates upon it with full attention, will never again be overwhelmed by the dualities of material happiness and distress. So let me summarize. Krishna gives his mercy to his devotees in three ways. First it starts, and this is the neem, they call it Vrindavan, this is the neem mercy, the piti pitta mercy. You take neem when your blood is very impure, and you get, by the way, take neem when you are in Vrindavan. It's few pills a day, it's a little bitter, but two things. Your blood will be very pure and you will be very healthy. And the second is the mosquitoes won't sting you. It's somehow they don't come. And the same thing happens when you accept that Krishna gives you sometimes what is not in your plan. You will become purified, and these people who have stung you always will leave you. They just don't come. This fool is on his way, on a different path now. And then you take shelter, then Krishna gives shelter if you look for the shelter. And finally Krishna gives himself. Where are you at the moment, my dear devotees? Are you in the neem phase? If you are in the neem phase, your next phase is not to run back to material arrangements, but to take full shelter at Krishna, and he will give you his shelter. 100%. You will find out he was just waiting all these years for you. When is my devotee finally understanding that this is not unfair, this is not unjust, this is just the way it should and must be? If you are in the neem phase,
As soon as you understand and take shelter of Krishna, you are getting ready for the third installment of mercy. It is where Krishna comes before you and just gives you his overwhelming mercy. I very much appreciated Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu's excellent lecture yesterday. It was a lecture of an epoch, I think. He said that it is seen that people who experience love, they are shining, they are confident, they have resilience. Look it up in the dictionary. I also need to do it. It means something like inner strength, to overcome obstacles. It's possible when you feel the love of Krishna. And this is what is also the subject of today. Don't complain. Don't think this is unfair. Accept it and take shelter with your body. How do you do this? Well, you engage your hands in service. Take shelter with your voice. How do you do this? Well, you chant. And in the kirtan, there's ample opportunity this evening. We have wonderful kirtaniers who have been so kind to visit us. Lots of kirtan. Or you can speak about Krishna to others. And your mind, yes, in your mind, give up this locked door in your personality, this block where you block yourself, and just stop complaining. Take responsibility. This is, yes, I'm a foolish conditioned soul. The Lord gives me now this deluxe treatment so that I can detach myself and go into the boat of detachment and just leave this misery. And then, yes, Krishna is there. Prabhupada spoke in 1966 about this forbearing mood which is necessary on your way to Krishna. Even if the devotee is distressed, he says, "O Lord, it is your kindness. You have put me in distress just to rectify me. I would have been put into more and more, a thousand times distress. You are giving me a leave. Maling." That's all. That is your great mercy. That is his vision. He is not disturbed. A person who is in Krishna consciousness does not care for all this material distress or insult or honor, because he is already aloof. He is on a different path. He is on his way. He's aloof from all of this problems. So this lecture, you could see it was at the subject, turning to Krishna as a friend, even when obstacles are there. Even when obstacles are there. Hare Krishna. I have said what I wanted to say, and I'm not too long today. This is a miracle. Krishna has been merciful to me. Do you have any questions regarding some of the subjects you have heard? Krishna. Yes, Sunilji. So, yeah.
So I have a question about the three types of mercy. So the first one I understood to be, like you said, the bitter mercy. Krishna causes sometimes a little pain. And then you also mentioned how Krishna gives us mercy where he gives it to us in a small dose to try and remove what's little remaining. And I think I understood that to be the third type of mercy. So I wasn't sure what the second type of mercy was.
Yes, thank you very much. But the first type of mercy, again, is Krishna uses the karmic reactions which would have come anyways to you in a way that you begin to understand a lesson. That is, you remove yourself from illusion. That's the first type of mercy. The second is, he gives you shelter. When you turn to him for shelter. The third type of mercy is, he gives you his very self. He says, here I am. Hare Krishna. We will hear about this tomorrow. It's another very important verse of the Bhagavata, which gives guidance so that you can live the Bhagavata. It is my pleasure. My dear devotees, I will tell you something. I have done my lecture now. Now I can be. I mean, what I mean to say is, I can give. I want to give a personal take on this. In my early life in Krishna consciousness, I really had to go to a lot of tests. Really, one thing after the other. I was often very ill. I had to go to hospitals. I sometimes almost left my body sometimes twice. That's not a lot, you know. Only two times. But it was really at the border. And I was always misunderstood. And because I don't know why, but I was always misunderstood. And oh my God, I had troubles with my authorities, and it was really tough. It was really tough. And often I thought, how much more can I take? Because I come from a different background, you know, and it was a different lifestyle altogether. I had to learn, how much more can I take? I'm not that. I cannot take. But I somehow, at a quite early stage, I had read that part in the Nectar of Devotion. You know, that this we should tolerate this as the result of our own misdeeds, and knowing that Krishna gives us a lesson. So, okay. Then the next thing phase came to me. I understood if I leave the process of Krishna consciousness and take shelter in a job, in an apartment, and so on, I really go back into the material energy. So let me now go a different direction, but I can't do it alone. I must take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. That was the second phase. And I consequently did this. Once, you know, our whole German yatra was in danger to be closed because there was a misunderstanding with the Finanzamt. It said in Germany, there are two things you must avoid. The fiscus, what is it called in English? Finanzamt, wie sagt man das? The tax office, thank you. There are two things you must avoid to stay alive. The tax office and death. It's so cruel when the tax office is after you, you know. It's so cruel. It's the ultimate fear. Next to death. And our whole movement, there was this, I think you understood, about such things one doesn't speak in public in a great detail. It was, the misunderstanding was that we had not done our duty in paying taxes. We had done our duty, but it was only later discovered. So when when the devotees came and we spoke, what should we do? It was such a crisis that we didn't dare to tell the devotees because they would break down, you know. It's like that. And so I said, all I know is let's take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So because by that time I had learned, when you take shelter at Krishna, I mean honest, not like a merchant, but you really, oh Krishna, please, this is too much for me, I can't deal it. Then Krishna gives you all the shelter. I have seen this in my life. So then the devotee said, okay, you take shelter, you are in this department, and you do other things. Because they were managers, you have to also do your own part, you know. But a preacher only knows this. So they did good management, they got a good lawyer, and it was good. But I prayed the Sharanagati prayers. And I really meant it. This is your movement. This is Prabhupada's movement. It cannot be closed. It's not possible. Please, but this was an event regarding the movement. I was also learning. I've learned to take shelter. I'm not perfect in this. Please don't get the understanding that I'm a perfect. But I'm trying to take shelter. And I've always seen the moment you do this, you're relieved. You feel joy in your heart, and somehow things change. How? The only explanation is by Krishna's mercy. He is arranging everything. And then there's something which, by Prabhupada's mercy, one day, maybe after many lifetimes, I'm looking forward to Krishna's mercy and taking me to his side. This is very high, but Lord will know when it's proper time. He has the knowledge he has. He will do. He likes me, so he will know when to do. So this is very personal. It really works. And I want to really, really, really ask you, if Prabhupada says this verse, it should be the guideline of all devotees, because then you must take it serious. You know, stop complaining. This is very important. Don't understand that, okay, I'm on my path. I need to be removed from this ignorance. And then second thing is take shelter at that time. Take shelter. Usually that's the last thing we think of. To take shelter. That's the really last thing. Let's first run to the doctors. Let's get some consultation, some mediation, some this or that, or some justice, or this or that, some internet activities, whatever we do. But taking shelter is waiting for us. So thank you, Shunya, for asking this question. So that I could make it crystal clear. I would request everyone to take a hammer and a chisel in your life and make a sadhana from this, a spiritual practice which you can apply on a regular basis, and you will hear all of a sudden a big sound. There was a door of your material existence. It opened. Pain. Maybe not so dramatic, but maybe it goes more like Alright, I can see it is 9:15 and we have a wonderful program today. I would request our Gaurahari, if he's still there. Yes, Gaurahari, to give us a tune in. It's really big. Syamnam, Bhagavadama, Gaurahari, the other devotees. We're really prepared something wonderful. Here, please. I'm done. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gaur Anitai ki jai. Gaur Premanandi jai.